Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Hello and welcome to Game Stuff. For anybody that's new to the podcast, we are a conversational podcast where passionate gamers discuss random gaming topics for your amusement. And if you want to be part of our discussion, please come to our Facebook group, Game Stuff Podcast, and join in on the conversation. Just ask for an invite and we will go ahead and invite you because we do love to have conversations with you. Now, before we get started, I want to get some housekeeping out of the way. Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. You can come talk to me on Twitter at GameStuffCast. And do remember, we do have a Patreon page. You can find us at patreon.com/provengamer. Now, I'm Kalai, and joining me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Doing pretty good, pretty good.
I'm also joined by Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So before we get started on our topic of the show, let's get this conversation started as we always do. Roberto, what have you been playing?
All right, so a bunch of games, and I'll keep it quick. So first up, on the PlayStation Vita front, I've been playing an interesting twin-stick shooter called Corpse...
Just corpses.
Yeah.
It's that. What he's saying is actually the title. It's Corpse. Corpse. It's a zombie killing game, and you just come across random dead bodies all the time.
You're kind of close. It's.
Am I?
Yeah. Because it's the thing is, today Exceed Games announced Corpse Bride coming to the PC, which is like an interesting Japanese game. Riddled Corpses EX is what I'm trying to talk about. There we go. So it's okay. I'm going to keep it tight-lipped because the game's not out yet. But it's being developed by Diabolical Mind and Brenton from Calcat Games. He's actually making it for the Vita and PS4. It's a very cool 60 frame per second zombie hunting, monster hunting twin stick shooter. So think of it a little bit like Smash TV, but and also some old Capcom classics. And basically you have it at that. Great music, very solid shooting mechanics, but I still got to play more of it to go on. It's a pretty difficult game. I only got through stage two. I haven't gotten through stage two yet. I just barely got through stage one. And secondly, on the PlayStation Vita, Dragon's Crown, which you probably heard of because Dragon's Crown just recently came out for the PS4 in Dragon's Crown Pro. I don't know if you, have you guys heard of Dragon's Crown or no?
Oh, of course, we've discussed it past on the show. Now, quick question for you. You've been playing it on the Vita?
Yes, it has the Atlas actually, they actually released a patch for cross-save capability.
Oh.
So they actually...
That's interesting.
So even
because I don't know if you remember, but Kalai was really wanting to play Dragon Crown with you on her Vita. No.
Oh yeah,
he probably
remember.
Doesn't
okay.
remember.
Yeah. My fault. Yeah. We did talk about that game. I just remembered. So, yeah. So the cross save capability, from what I understand, I haven't tested this yet, but if you play the game in an online environment, it automatically uploads your progress to the PS4. The Odin Sphere also did that as well. It was a little more manual, like you had to like manually upload it to the cross save cloud and then do that. But yeah, so that's something to do there. So I have more to take care of with that game, but pretty good so far. Then on the PS4 front, real quick, been playing two games that I actually really enjoyed. One is called Battlezone, which is actually for the PlayStation VR and now PS4. You don't even need VR anymore. It's a reimagining, well, actually not even a reimagining, but like a more updated take of the classic 80s video game. A lot of fun. get to just go around in a battle tank straight out of Tron and shoot things.
Yeah, it's all like vector images.
Yeah, yeah, that was the original, but now the new one has like Tron vector visual graphics. It's pretty cool, especially when you're playing online with a squad, so it's a lot of fun. And then also been playing a new game that I had the luxury of playing the last couple of days, Space Hulk Deathwing, which if you recall, I mentioned Space Hulk on the show last week or 2 weeks ago, and that was more of a tactical turn-based strategy game. Deathwing takes the strategy of that the original board game and turns into a first-person shooter. It's actually really cool. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Warhammer at all.
Is it like a Vermintide type game, or like Left 4 Dead or something like that?
I'd have to say Vermintide. I haven't played it, but I heard that's a lot of fun. But I have to say yes, it's along that line. Except this time you're a big hulking space marine navigating giant corridors of a giant spaceship, similar to Ridley Scott's Alien. It's a little tricky on your own. I mean, I have to restart a mission because I got myself into a position where there's just no way I'm going to win. I'm not even playing on hard. I'm just playing on normal. But everything else looks pretty good in that one. And the final game, the fifth special one I always talk about is, let's see here, Fire Emblem Echoes Shadows of Valentia.
Jesus Christ, that's a mouthful.
Yes. I'm sure you guys have heard of Fire Emblem.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, I have to get that game.
It is honestly, to me, the definition of what handheld games can do. It is beautiful. It is heart-wrenching. It is heartbreaking. It is triumphant. It is funny. It has wonderful voice acting. And also the combat is addictive as hell. It's great. And it keeps you wanting coming back for more. So I beat the game last year, but I want to do the DLC and then eventually do the end game content. So also because I also picked up Fire Emblem Awakening and I kind of want to like 100% this before I move on to that. The game also features, just a little history, it's a remake of one of the first Fire Emblem games on the Famicom, so we're going back to the 80s there, and if you look at the Famicom game in this one, you'll see a lot of similarities to the story and things like that. It has animated cutscenes, also full-fledged English voice work, and one of the voice actors is Erica Lindbeck, I actually met by sheer coincidence, so... she happened to be at Anime Next and she was talking about Fire Emblem. I'm like, Fire Emblem, the game came out 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh my God, it's Celica. She's on the cover of the game and she's right there in front of me and she's talking about it. Oh my God. So I had her like sign the cartridge.
Nice.
And I got a picture with her. Wonderful person. And that's it.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Matt, what about you? Yeah, let's hear from Matt.
Yeah, my list is pretty short this week. For all the listeners who don't know, I have a child that is supposed to have been here already. He's supposed to be born on Friday, the 18th of May. And so my time has been very consumed with that. But I have played a little bit of Wizard of Legend, which I kind of talked about last week. Our good friend Steven over on Nintendo Dual Screens did a review of it. And it's just like a super difficult... third person, like isometric roguelike, like pixel art stuff. It's incredible, but it is so ridiculously difficult. I kept playing some Donkey Kong. I'm really liking it. One of the things that gets me about that game is I'm so used to holding the run button in like any platformer I play. And like you don't do that in Donkey Kong. And so like I constantly roll myself off of edges by accident. Cause like I'll hit the X button to roll, but I'm just trying to run. And like I'll just be like, all right, I need to make this jump and run, but the roll is so much different than running, and I'll just end up flying off a ledge. But I'm really enjoying that game. And then today I picked up the Mega Man Legacy Collection for Switch, and so I was gonna start with 3, which is my favorite Mega Man. But I decided that I should play some of the Mega Man games I didn't play, which are like 7 and 8. And so I started with 8, and I've been having a pretty good time with that so far. But that's really cool. It. Yeah. What have you been playing, Kalai?
Oh, I haven't been playing much because I've been addicted to Shantae and the Pirate's Curse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good and stuff. That's some really hard platforming.
Yeah.
Like, Mega Man hard. The last stage, to get to the last stage, you have to do all these specific jumps, and on top of that, all the walls are lined with spikes.
Yeah.
So I went through so many health potions, but right before we recorded, I sat on my couch and beat the game.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
So I've had this game for 3 years. It was so much fun. The dialogue was so witty and just kept me entertained. And it was a great on-the-go because it doesn't take that long to play the game. Average time, I believe, was about 8 hours. It took me 12. But I could play it at work, which I played on my lunch today. I was doing the boss fight at my lunch, and I'm like, 20 minutes. I'm like, I can't beat this guy, and I died. I was like, oh, thank God I just saved right before it.
Yeah.
But I was like, why does my lunch have to be over? I really want to replay the boss again.
Do you like platformers? Like, is that like a genre you enjoy?
I do enjoy platformers. I don't enjoy extremely hard platformers and frustrating platformers and platformers where, you know, you have to trip buttons so your platforms will show up, but they're only there for 10 seconds. So you have to keep moving and trip the next button. And
yeah, see, this sounds like a game that I need to probably play. I love like hardcore, like platformers are where I started loving video games, and so like this feels like a game that I absolutely 100% need to play because I love something that'll sit there like Super Meat Boy, and I'll play a level like a million times until I finally beat it, and then finally get through it.
In that case, you want to look at games like the following games: Celeste.
Oh yeah, I played that.
Shio, which is a new one that just came out today. And Octahedron.
All right, check that out. I play Celeste is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I was going to say is they actually ported a lot of the games, the Shantae games, to the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Half Genie
so
Hero.
You can get them on. Yeah. I just started with the Pirate's Curse because I got it in the Humble Bundle deal a couple years ago.
Does it like matter what order you play them in? Or like, is there any order for them? No. It's just like nonsensical platforming story.
Yes. In fact, there is, I guess, a boss from the first game that comes and shows up, and he's like, I'm the mid-boss now. Oh, well, I guess I'll be the best mid-boss I can be. It's just, the dialogue is just funny, and it's just a lot of fun.
Okay.
So, I highly recommend them. The only other game I've been playing, which I started, and I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm in the mood to play this, but we'll see. And then, of course, I got sucked in and couldn't stop playing, which is South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
You're still playing it? So you got through the pooping?
I got through the pooping. Apparently it's a mini game, so you can hop on like
any toilet in the whole game. I didn't want to ruin that for you because last time you said like at the beginning of the game, and I haven't beaten it, but I played like probably like 4 or 5 hours, so I didn't want to tell you that like there's actually like an in-game like challenge to poop on a bunch of toilets.
Did you get to the church?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you go into the back room of the church?
I don't remember. What was in the back room of the church?
You get put into this room. This is a spoiler, guys, so if you don't want to hear this, just walk away for 30 seconds.
Yeah, it'll give you 30 seconds. Like, okay.
Maybe a minute.
Yeah.
You walk into the back room of the church. He's like, the priest is like, oh, you have to go into our meditation room. So you go into this meditation room. I can't even say the word tonight. Sorry, guys. And two Catholic priests show up, and you have to fight them at first because they're like, oh, let me massage your back.
I think I did do that.
And the one guy's attack is he pulls a rosary bead out of his ass and then starts beating himself with it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's oh my God. The one
thing about those games is it's no different from the show. It's like they just don't hold anything back. And I think like it can go further than the show because it's a game and it's not on, like, nobody needs to, like, it's rated and it can be anything that it wants.
Did you pick your Matt, did you actually pick your kryptonite?
Did I pick my kryptonite in that game? I thought so. Because I thought, like, so I played probably, like, 5 hours of that game, and most of it was just, like, walking around and beating up, like, fifth graders or whatever.
But at some point, you have to pick your kryptonite.
Yeah, what was yours?
Mine was Crab People.
Crab People, nice. I don't remember what mine was. I gotta finish that game for sure. They're like, way more fun than they have any right to be for, like, a tactical RPG.
Oh my God. And just wait till you get to the point where you have to go to the strip club.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on, Roberto. Oh, you don't want to play these games.
No. Like, I can't believe how
far they were willing to go here with some of these things. And it's just, I mean, on one hand, I absolutely respect the show, the creators. They're not afraid to say what needs to be said, to do what they need to do. They're unapologetic with what they've done. So, like, hearing this is just, I'm still just surprised and blown away that they went this far. I mean, it's great. Just keep it going.
Yeah. I think what that all says to me is that, like, Trey and Matt definitely had a giant hand in making sure that this game was very much South Park.
Oh, yeah. They did the first one and then the second one.
Yeah, so. Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into our topic of the show because we do have a lot to discuss.
Yeah.
This is the Game Stuff pre-E3 show. Yay! Woo! We're going to talk about all things you need to know about E3. Or at least the things we find interesting.
Right.
So we're going to go over even times and dates for the actual conferences in case you want to watch them at home. Afterwards, after E3, we will be doing an E3 wrap-up on our thoughts, and hopefully Roberto will be the main star of that show because he's going to actually be at E3.
Yeah, Roberto, I want you to know that I am, like, super jelly because you are living a lifelong dream of mine.
Yeah, and I thank you, I appreciate it, but I'm also, like, really grateful and humble. Like, I wouldn't be able to go without getting the experience from the last couple of years writing for different sites. I started writing for Dual Pixels LLC, then I wrote for nichegamer.com. Then I wrote for the Argo independent newspaper. I was the only guy writing about video games at my school. And then I did Stack Up, Proven Gamer, and now I'm doing But Why Though. So you guys kind of helped me out, you know, in getting there. So that I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think you're going to have a good time, man. I definitely, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Let's get rolling through times and what we're doing here.
Let's do it.
Okay, so starting June 9th, we have the actual EA's press conference at 11 a.m. I mean, I'm thinking we're probably going to see Anthem. Definitely whatever the newest Madden is. Yeah. FIFA, which is very popular for them. And they definitely confirmed the new Battlefield. So my guess is Battlefield Battle Royale.
I think maybe. I know that it's pretty much all but confirmed that it's going to be a World War II game. They actually have a... So today, we're recording this on the 22nd, so like the 23rd, so the day after that we record this, they're actually doing a big reveal of Battlefield 5, so I'm pretty amped to see what it is, because I love those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, EA, they obviously took an extremely bad bruising in the last half of last year with Star Wars, so now I think that, and especially with the shutdown of Visceral Games, EA's not flying high on anybody's radar at this time. I'd have to say that right now they need a lot of souls. They haven't done and that's a whole fiasco because then they were supposed to bring the microtransactions back to Battlefront 2. Then they just said, you know what, we're actually just going to have regular multiplayer progression. So it's right. Like, it's just, you can't help but feel like they just should have been doing that to begin with, and you've had it like a 9 out of 10 game right there. But back to the point, with that being said, and also the fact that a lot of BioWare leaders have left, and then that leaves Anthem in doubt. You know,
I'm not sure about that game anyway.
Right.
Yeah, neither am I.
And then controversially, Anita Sarkeesian visited the studio and upset a lot of people. Right now EA is just not quite on a lot of people's
point.
Yeah. So
you know what's weird though is like a couple years ago, so like when they debuted Battlefront, right, like the first one?
Yeah.
That E3 for them was like a super high point after a couple of years of everybody just thinking EA sucks. You know what I mean? Because like there was this mentality that like EA was like the worst fucking company around. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's weird. They like climbed out of the hole a little bit and then like just dug themselves like 6 feet deeper with the last like year or so.
Right, so maybe this year they're going to turn it around, and hopefully we'll see.
That's kind of why, like, I mean, I'm skeptical of Anthem, but at the same time, I'd love to see it be something cool. It just looked very, like, when we saw it, it looked very, like, flashy. Hey, this is our cool game, but there was no substance to it.
I mean, I kind of, if there's anything I would be happy about, EA released this series of games back in the day called the Strike series. Soviet Strike, Nuclear Strike, and also a game called Future
Cop. The
helicopter games. Yes.
Games.
Yeah. I mean, just get somebody... I don't care if you took that the PS1 graphics and just put it on PS4 and that was it. Those games were good. It was like Air Force One meets Executive Decision meets like 24 in a helicopter.
Yeah, they're pretty fun.
Awesome. So, yeah, other than that, that's really all I have to say. Yeah.
I think they're going to have to pull out some pretty big guns to impress anybody this year.
Yeah, Mass Effect HD Trilogy, I don't know about the Need for Speed because they screwed that up too a little bit. Medal of Honor probably making a comeback somehow, maybe as a strategy game or something like that. Definitely resurrecting other IPs, maybe another Mirror's Edge game, because the Catalyst was actually pretty good. And just anything they can do about that. Hope to God there's not a Battle Royale mode in Battlefield 5.
There probably will be.
Or at least if there will be, like, put we were talking about the other day, like fighter jets, tanks.
Yes, make it interesting.
Yeah,
basically yes.
Precision guided.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the next one because I want to make sure we get everything. Microsoft is June 10th at 1:00. It's been pretty much leaked that we have a Horizon 4. The setting though, that is, they think Hong Kong, but we're not sure yet. I'm hoping for Halo 6 or Gears of War, which there is some rumblings about, because those are one of my favorite Microsoft series.
Yeah, I heard some rumors about those, too.
And my guess is there's going to be another delay of Crackdown 3.
Yeah. I actually researched. I'm like, did Crackdown 3 come out yet? And it's like, it's supposed to come out in March, and it never happened. I would almost have to argue even that they might just either cancel and just reboot the whole game, or just cancel it outright. Because like, I was reminiscing on early last year, and how they cancel Scalebound. And quite frankly, when they cancel Scalebound, they sent a nuclear weapon to every bridge regarding the Japanese gaming community. And I think that's what's hurting them right now.
Yeah. I think not only that, but like that was a signal to people who, like me, who like had an Xbox at the time. And I was like, oh, you know, like eventually there's going to be some pretty cool exclusives on this system. And that was one of the ones I was looking forward to, and they just torpedoed it. Like, it was just dead out of nowhere.
Yeah, and...
I was looking forward to that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right now, they need to hopefully introduce new IPs, and maybe even just go into exclusive indies. Like, Ori and the Blind Forest, I heard, was really good. I never played it, but I heard the music to it, and I'm like, this is really beautiful stuff. I mean, I actually wish I could be playing this game right now.
Yeah, and I'm going to lose a lot of... I'm going to probably lose a lot of people's respect who listen to this, but I think Microsoft is not dead this generation, but that as far as like a console goes, they really drop the ball once they don't have any exclusives. Nothing is actually exclusive to their console because everything can be played on a PC. Every single game that they have. Any Play Anywhere game can be played on a PC, which has been most of their large titles to come out in the past year or two.
Right. So now... I think that's what they're going to need to do. They're going to need to tap into indies, tap into resurrecting any old IPs. I remember the Xbox and even the 360 had some interesting games like Cameo, Elements of Power, Mech Assault. There was a bunch of other type of Xboxy games like that. There was Bloodwake, I remember playing the demo for that. And
oh yeah, that was that boat game, right?
Yeah, with like machine guns and missiles and stuff. So that looked pretty cool. And
that was dope.
Yeah, I think that's just the best thing you're going to need to do. Just like tap into that breed of game again. Otherwise, I mean, I'm sure you're going to get Halo 6. I'm sure you're going to get the next
Gears. That's what I think Microsoft needs to do is go after the Halo and the Gears of War because that's where their series, because they are failing, as much as I hate to say this, on a lot of front. And State of Decay 2 is getting a lot of negative press. So they're going to really have to turn it around at their E3 conference.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think Halo and Gears are... So, like, the problem for Microsoft now is they don't have a system seller. Almost at all. Like, their system seller right now is State of Decay. And really, like you said, it's not getting... I mean, it's like... It's been getting okay reviews, but nothing great. But Halo 6 or... Gears, that's a system seller. You tell me Halo 6 is coming, and there's a pretty good chance that, like, within the year, I'll probably have an Xbox again just to check out Halo 6.
Mm-hmm.
But Halo 6, you might be able to play on your PC.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, but it would be really weird. I do like mouse and keyboards for first-person shooters, but for some reason, like, there's, like, this... I don't know. There's, like, something about playing Halo with a controller that feels good, and I would feel like I'm, like, cheating on somebody to use a mouse and keyboard playing Halo.
We could always put a actual controller.
You shut up, Kalai. What's your logic? All right, let's move on to, I think it's Bethesda's next.
Yes, at June 10th at 6:30. Still my beating heart. They are bringing back a series I thought would never come back. My favorite fucking series from them. One of my favorite... Everything... What am I saying? Everything fucking Bethesda is great.
Yeah.
Rage 2.
I am so excited for this game because what they've shown so far looks so friggin' good. It looks like a really dark, Mad Max-y Borderlands type game.
Have you played the first one?
I played a little bit of it, but I grabbed it on PC when it released, and it had a lot of problems right out of the gate.
Same, I grabbed that.
Your mission is to go back and play it.
Okay, all right, I will.
I need to revisit it on PS3.
Yeah, I've heard really great things about it from people who have played it.
Also, what the hell is Starfield?
Yeah, they've been teasing this game called Starfield, and there are rumors going around that, like, it's, like, gonna be, like, Elder Scrolls or Fallout, but in space. And so I have no idea what that is, but, like, part of me hopes that they saw what happened to No Man's Sky and Hello Games, and they were like, you know what, I think we can do something like that, but we can do it better. And it's going to be like this crazy open world, super future sci-fi, not dystopian open world RPG. Or like open universe RPG, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be amazing. I'm very excited for it.
Okay, yeah, I don't think anything really else major need to talk about. I don't think that we're going to see an Elder Scrolls or a Fallout. Maybe they'll touch a little bit on Doom with it coming to Switch.
I've heard rumors that Doom 2 might show up at the show.
That's a possibility.
I would be pretty amped if that happened, because I really enjoyed the new Doom.
Okay, June 11th, we actually have Square Enix at 10 a.m. It's Square Enix.
Yeah.
So...
we kind of know what's coming, I think.
Yes, we're probably going to see more Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And supposedly we're going to see maybe a release date for Kingdom Hearts. I'm not holding my breath for that one.
I don't know. I mean, it does... I'm not sure. I think Kingdom Hearts is going to be a holiday title, because it just feels like that is what that is. You know what I mean? It just feels like a holiday title to me, and that's something that I think Square Enix would be smart enough to put out around that time.
Yes, you might be right. I'm pretty sure that Roberto can't hear us anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay, so... also, people want more information on Final Fantasy VII. I think Final Fantasy VII and Kingdom Hearts is on the same page.
Yeah. I heard some rumors a while back, or saw some stuff and read some stuff that said that they were looking for, like, a new combat designer for a Final Fantasy remake. And so I'm not sure if that means that they're pushing it back because the hype was so huge, but I can't imagine that they would think that the hype for that game wouldn't be gigantic, because it's Final Fantasy VII. Everybody has a huge reverence for that game, so I'm not sure what to think about it. I don't think we're going to see that this year. I really don't. I think we'll see it at E3, but I don't think that's something that's going to release this year.
Next up is Ubisoft on June 11th at 1 p.m. I don't even know what they're actually going to present, because, I mean, we might see a new Watch Dogs. Probably definitely something murmuring of Assassin's Creed, or what we call here Feather Collector. So maybe Feather Collector 2019. Maybe. Oh, The Division 2. The Division 2 is a good possibility, because they have announced they're working on that.
Yeah, I think we'll see something from that. On They I guess have a mission in was it Ghost Recon Wildlands where you're trying to get to Sam Fisher, and I think they're kind of hinting at the fact that maybe Splinter Cell might be making a comeback, which would be awesome. I used to play the hell out of those games when I was a little bit younger, and they're just some of the best stealth games around. I feel like we don't have a whole lot of stealth games anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, no, I don't think that at all. I mean, we have Dishonored.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a Dishonored is like a different kind of stealth. Like, this is like...
Watch Dogs?
Watch Dogs isn't like a full stealth game, though. Like, I'm thinking like a like Hitman level... like, it's a very specific, like, tactical espionage spy type of stealth that that brings. And just, like, the character Sam Fisher is so iconic now. It's I would love for them to bring it back. I think that's a great series for them to revisit.
Okay, then at 3 p.m. on June 11th, we have the PC Gaming Show.
I never really know what to expect from the PC show. I mean, I assume there's going to be, like, a bunch of cool indie stuff, and then maybe, like, more Civilization or something like that. I play a lot of PC games, but, like, I still never know what to expect from this part of the show, because it's so weird to me.
I would love to see more Civ, as I'm a huge Civ fan.
Yeah. I used to play a whole lot of Civ. My friend, friend of mine, Justin, has been trying to get me to play Civ 6 a whole lot, and I just haven't had the damn time, because those games take so long.
Oh, yeah, they do take long. I usually tend to play 12 hours at a time.
Hey, Roberto's back!
yeah, that's frustrating. The battery's gonna die. I just grabbed it, and then, well, of course, I connect my laptop, and it just decides to completely give me the middle finger on everything. So I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for the interference. So, real quick, going back to Square Enix...
Let's roll back a little. Okay. I knew you. That was like the one thing I was like, Roberto is going to want to definitely talk about this one.
Okay, so with right now, Square Enix has been on a roll the last couple of years. They've been really trying to broaden out their horizons with the games. I think that Kingdom Hearts 3, this is a make it or break it title. I think they are poised to release this year. I sense it. The demo, everything else has been going according to plan. The fiscal year leak, along with some of the words that were said at the Kingdom Hearts 3 premiere event basically indicates that Kingdom Hearts 3 will definitely be launching this year. When? I'm thinking it'll be November. At the very worst, it'll be in January.
I will say, like, I was very skeptical that would happen this year, but I have seen some gameplay that they released recently of, like, the Toy Story world that looks super polished and, like it's part of a game that's almost ready to go gold.
So right now, I'd have to say that any hopes of, like, the Star Wars Marvel world that we're hoping for, I would have to suspect that will happen, but you don't want to drop something like that, and maybe even you could tease it possibly, but you're not you right. Don't want to drop something like that and blow like one of your big secrets. So now in terms of other possibilities with the game, they thought they were going to kind of release this kind of in the same way as Final Fantasy 15 or Hitman, but we'll have to wait and see. So ultimately, like, I'm not gonna, like, the big details are going to come when E3 happens. Other possibilities with Square Enix include any kind of continuation of Just Cause, also any kind of continuation of the DayX universe, which they did say the DayX universe is not dead despite the reception of Mankind Divided. Also, any kind of bringing over of other JRPGs, other kind of big deal, other things like that. Nier Automata was a huge success, which basically has been deciding to bridge the entire world of the Japanese RPG and as well as like the niche strange Japanese games to the United States. So yeah. Like, because last year when you think about it with Persona 5 and Nier Automata, it has been it's a big win for all of us, because then this brings more games from Japan to the United States and also really really potentially great experiences. So I think we're going to get that. And in terms of other Square Enix properties, I'd like to see them bring back Iron Honder. Because that was an old PS1 shmup back in the day. And also, I don't know, this is a dream, but they had that. But if you're familiar with the video game Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if you know the history, that game used to be an Activision game.
True Crime LA.
Yeah. So man. That was a great. The Sleeping Dogs was a fantastic, fantastic video game. Criminally underrated. You should basically go right now and buy it for PS4. The studio shut down, sadly, like sometime last year, the year before.
Yeah, if you haven't played it, it's basically GTA, but with Batman-style combat. So, like, you can drive around cars, and it's like an open-world RPG, kind of, but then also the martial arts, like, parts of it are... The combat's incredible. It's super fun.
I feel like if they do show Kingdom Hearts on stage... that Wayne's World will come out and go, it's an illusion.
I mean, it's been a long time coming. I mean, it's with that particular franchise. I know that we should have had a second game in 2010, really, but, I mean, we did get a prequel with Birth by Sleep, but not like a standalone
that's,
game.
That's, as somebody who's never really played any of the Kingdom Hearts games, it's such like a, like... It's such a wall to get into them because there's so much shit that I have to play. And I love Disney and I love Pixar and I love all that stuff. But I just, at the time that Kingdom Hearts came out, I didn't play it. And then by the time I wanted to try to play it, there was so much to play that I was like, you know what? I'm good.
Right, right. That's kind of me right now because I want to play the original six games before this new one comes out. Six, but I don't know how I'm going to squeeze it.
Six games is so many.
Yeah.
All right. So, moving on, we have Sony at 6 p.m. on June 11th. They have confirmed Death Stranding is going to be there, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, and The Last of Us 2. Again, I'm not expecting much from Sony. I feel Sony doesn't have big E3 conferences because they have so many shows that they do, including their own show, that by the time they get around to E3, they're just recycling stuff.
Yeah, I think years ago... It was much bigger for them, but now I think we'll have some surprises, but I think you're right. I think they save a lot of the stuff for their own shows and other conferences.
Right, so now I think that there might be a couple of surprises at this one this year, hopefully. I personally have always advocated for the return of certain franchises like Siphon Filter, G-Police, Destruction Derby.
I actually heard rumors that there's a chance that Siphon Filter... might be showing up.
Yeah,
this is a weird E3 because I feel like there's a crap ton of like weird rumors floating around where it's like it seems like somebody's wish list that all these things would show up, but then you're kind of like, well, like now would be the time to do that.
I'd have to say that the last year has been a very sharp development in the in games that we enjoy and also. The games have received. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy was wildly received, and along with the remasterings and remakes of games like Yakuza Kiwami, Shadow of the Colossus, it's safe to say that we are in an age of nostalgia and reinventing that nostalgia, while also using that nostalgia to hopefully bring forth brand new games in those genres or in those fields. And now, of course, there's been the debate about single-player games.
Yeah, so I don't think that's... Where... I think that's a fake debate. I don't think that exists. I think most people love single-player games. And
right.
There's, like, a marketing company out there that's just like, single-player games are dying! And meanwhile, Skyrim came out in 2011, and since then has been put on everything but your goddamn toaster and sold 23 million copies worldwide. Like... I don't think single-player games are going anywhere, man. Like, we're... The Witcher, Doom, like... everything. Like, platformers even. Like, Donkey Kong. I love single-player games. I think we all do. And I hate this stupid idea that, like, multiplayer is gonna kill... I just don't like that. I friggin' hate it.
Right, right. And I think it's just... In terms of the outcry of that, I think it's just... really kind of bringing it up to the developers, because as you know, the newest Call of Duty is not even going to have a single player at this point.
Right.
And not, you know, and I kind of like playing the single players just because they were silly fun for a few hours. So that's like a debate there.
Well, it's sort of going to have a single player. They're taking a book from Rainbow Six.
Just those missions, so yeah.
It's just those missions.
Mm-hmm. So
but let's move on to the next conference.
Yeah. This next one is, I think Nintendo is going to kill E3. I think they're going to nail it this year.
You know, I don't know about that. So June 12th, they're doing a 9 a.m. conference. The reason why I'm not sure about that is because Nintendo has been very much not big into the E3 scene and their announcements because they announce a lot of their stuff beforehand.
Right.
So a lot of that, there's no surprise coming into E3. They don't come out and be like, well, here's the big reveal. I do think we're going to find out more about this Nintendo Online.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which they've already pre-announced.
Right.
If any of our fans are going to E3, bring your Switch, because if you have your Switch, you get a free pin.
That's dope.
Uh-huh. They've already confirmed Smash Brothers, so we're going to see Smash Brothers there.
See, now I think that right there is going to kill the show. Like, people are going to go friggin' bananas. I was leaning towards it being a port, but the more I think about it, the more it makes sense that it's a totally new game. And that alone, for me, would put them over the edge. I know. I don't want to be, but, like, I think at heart, I've always been a Nintendo fanboy, and I think, like, I didn't want to be for the Wii and Wii U, because it was, like, they were kind of ugly systems. Like, you didn't want to be fans of that. But now that they have, like, a solid system, I'm like, fuck everything. Nintendo is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if they will talk about Metroid, because they only kind of teased at Metroid. So I don't think they're really going to talk about it yet, because I don't think it's coming out this year.
No, definitely not. I don't
anticipate that. I don't think it's coming out this year, but I think they're going to show something. Because they teased it last year, and they teased it literally with just the name, right? And people went friggin' bananas. And so I think it would behoove them to at least show something to give us faith that it's going to come out with sometime within the next goddamn decade.
Maybe possibly Pokemon on the Switch, because it gets rumored that it's going to be there, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, so I've heard rumors that I think that would be pretty cool too.
So I suspect we're going to definitely, maybe Nintendo's going to follow suit on the aspect of nostalgia. We're going to probably hopefully get a new Star Fox game that may, that, you know, there was a rumor that it's going to be like a racing game.
Yeah. I don't know.
If it was like a flight racing game, like in space and stuff, similar to, let's say, Episode 1 Pod Racer for the N64 with weapons, I could probably get around that. There was also Combat Racing for the Jak and Daxter series.
What about if it was like Diddy Kong Racing?
No. I would. That would be a deal breaker for me. No.
It makes sense, man. They have tanks. They have the R-Wing. You could be transforming into a plane and into, it would be amazing.
I can't imagine this, like, anthropomorphic furry fox space bounty hunter with a gun on his side being crammed to a little go-kart. No.
I think it would be amazing.
I mean,
I am all for anthropomorphic things with guns.
Yeah, we need more of that. I personally think they're blowing an opportunity not having it something like, let's say, Wing Commander or Colony Wars or even Elite Dangerous. I mean, if they just tapped into that, that would be amazing. F-Zero, I think F-Zero's long due for a return. I would honestly think also they're going to probably go into the SNES library and even the N64 library, try and find other games, bring them back. Maybe we're going to find more information what's going to happen to the 3DS. Maybe there's new games for the 3DS. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's still doing well, so there's that, and I feel that
Detective Pikachu 2.
I bet
that's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking we're gonna get Mario Maker on the Switch too. I think we're either gonna get a reveal of a new 2D Mario or Mario Maker port for the Switch.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Yeah,
I mean,
because they don't have that yet.
Yeah, or maybe like a successor to Super Mario RPG.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, so
that would be amazing.
Yeah, so I think that we're gonna probably be in that position with that. But we'll see. Nintendo is definitely known for the surprises, and also any kind of exclusives from third-party developer studios. I mean, despite the fact that the Wii was kind of like an ugly system, I wouldn't mind seeing the sequel to games like Red Steel, The Conduit, and a few others. Oh, and then Bayonetta 3, we might hopefully get a tease for that, but, well, more than a tease, since that's in the pipeline as well.
All right, so Matt went on to our Facebook group, that's Game Stuff Podcast, and asked, what are you hoping comes out of E3 this year? Are there games you're expecting, possible surprises, or rumors you've heard? Dominique says, I'm basic as fuck. More Metroid Prime 4 info, please.
Can confirm, Dom is basic as fuck.
Daryl says, word on the street is Siphon Filter is making a comeback. I'm also looking forward for a solid release date of Final Fantasy VII Remake, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Shenmue 3, and Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, the FF7, they just said, like, it may not come until 2023 when we're four years away from the Skynet wreaking havoc on Judgment Day on humanity.
I touched on that a little because they, like, just hired a new combat artist or something like that, like, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's going to take some, that's going to take a lot of time right there. I'd have to say the Siphon Filter rumors again are, they're strong because if you play the game on PSP, Logan Shadow, that was an amazing game. You had a hell of a soundtrack with, like, an actual Middle Eastern vocalist. And so, like, you'd be playing and you'd hear, like, you know, this woman, like, it was terrifying. Like, there's, like, a mission on a ship and, like, terrorists have taken it over. And you hear this, like, drums. And then, drums. And it's, like, you're sneaking around. It's dark. The ship's on fire. It's crazy. So the game ends on such a horrible cliffhanger, I swear to God. I don't want to spoil it, but that's where I hope we see a comeback. I would love it to, I don't care if it's open world, single player, third person, first person, anything like that. It kind of reminds me, I do miss the SOCOM video games as well, which I know that the team was disbanded after SOCOM 4, but I'd love to see another SOCOM video game as well.
Joseph says, Fire Emblem Switch. Mm-hmm. And now let me go ahead and embody him. I'm going to embody Joseph here, so hopefully I can do it. Joe, good. Ani fucking Mushu HD Collection, people.
Ani Mushu?
I would love that a lot. I played so much of those games on PS2, and I would love to see those revisited, because they're probably some of the best of the end of, like, the pre-rendered background third-person games. They're fucking amazing. If you like Resident Evil and you also like Samurais, you like Onimusha.
Daniel Jones says that would require Capcom to remember its IPs other than Street Fighter.
That's fucking 100% true, yeah. Daniel. Thanks.
It is possible. I mean, Capcom did say they are looking to resurrect their IPs, so I would personally love to see Lost Planet come back, because I liked Lost Planet 3, I liked the first one, and I didn't play the second one, and I thought that was a really cool game series right there, so I'm with you on that.
Then we had Dominic come back in and say Ace Combat HD Collection.
Yeah.
Yes, I would probably play those. Please, oh my god, Namco, Bandai Namco, excuse me, do it. Wow, like, I can tell you that those games, despite the fact that they may look pretty simple on the outside because it's aerial combat fighting, those games were absolutely amazing, featuring great stories, fan-flippantastic music, an epic scale, tons of missions. It had, like, a little bit of an anime degree to it, like you're fighting, like, a giant bomber the size of Manhattan at one point. But it's just, those were such great games. I would love to see 4, 5, and Belkan War on PS4. Maybe, if we're lucky, the PSP games even, because they were pretty good.
DJ says, I'd love to see some new Smash Brother additions. Nothing will ever top Mega Man unless they announce Zero. I'd like updated Final Fantasy Remake and KH3.
Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Kingdom Hearts 3. Right. Duh. I'd also like a completely out-of-the-left-field release that no one saw coming, like a Fallout, insert new city here. That would be very cool. I would love a Fallout.
Yeah.
Brandon says Borderlands 3. Now, they did come out and say that they're not going to be talking about Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
However, not this PAX East, but the PAX East before that, I went to Gearbox's panel where they were showing new tech on drawing stuff for a game that's not released yet and not announced yet, but looks a lot like Borderlands. So it's coming.
Yeah, I think it not being there isn't a symptom of it not showing up eventually. I think it's just more they're maybe not ready to show it off yet. Because I don't know many people that would not be excited for Borderlands 3.
Daniel Jones says, by the beard of Zeus, Bloodborne 2.
Oh my god, please give it to me now.
Jeff says Doom 2 and Simon Belmont and Smash Brothers. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. I would personally like to see, in terms of hopeful characters, I'd love to see, that Victor Belmont would be pretty cool. Maybe a reference to Salt Sioux Vulcan, or Cybernator in that one. I'd have to say, I can't think of any right now, but that's just a good one right there.
Jack Hammond says Spider-Man looks dope. A new Elder Scrolls would be nice.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on Spider-Man. Like, that's a very ambitious title for Insomniac, and I'm really hoping... What? Come on.
Kalai, you don't like Spider-Man games? What was this? Are you thinking... Do you think you can just thumbs down a game and, like, the listeners aren't going to know about it? Is that what's going on?
Kalai just did the thumbs down when I said Spider-Man, so...
Come on. That game looks so dope.
We have a traitor in our midst here.
game looks like a bunch of fucking timed, scened, beautiful graphiced shit. I have a theory about fucking Sony, and we're gonna have to go into this, and this is my theory. They make everything so bedazzling good that you don't notice that the gameplay not that great.
This isn't Sony though, right?
It's a Sony exclusive.
Insomniac. Right?
I mean,
it is Insomniac, but everything I saw was QuickTime events, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah. I loved the old Spider-Man PS2 games and like Ultimate Spider-Man, and I love just like there's something really relaxing about like Spider-Maning around the city, like just swinging around. And if they nail that, like they could get everything else wrong about this game, and if they get the web-slinging right, I will buy it.
I think that because I know that when they showed the trailer last year, the demo, it ended with them shooting, like, you know, you hit the trigger buttons to lock the helicopter in place or something, and I know people were very annoyed about that, but I have a feeling it's Insomniac. These guys are really good at what they do. I think they're going to be able to make something really neat, and there's going to only be a handful of QuickTime events. I mean, remember, God of War, I don't want the new one, but the God of War franchise always, like, had QuickTime events for slaying their bosses and stuff. I mean, yes, it does an over-heavy use of it, kind of like in, there was an Xbox 360 exclusive, like, called Ninja Blade. Okay, yeah, I can imagine getting annoyed, but I think it's going to be pretty good. This is Insomniac. There was a rumor, too, speaking of, real quick, that the Killzone trilogy and the Resistance trilogy were going to be HD'd and put on PS4, but that was just a tweet that I read.
Okay. Jeff says Xbox is probably going to show a full demo on the controller they made for people with disabilities. That controller is fucking impressive, and it's just the beginning. I hope this gets big, and we see other consoles do this.
Yeah, that thing is so fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that, too. I mean, it's going to mean a lot to people and any gamers out there. There is kind of like, you never think about gamers who could really use those services and that kind of accessibility. Like, I mean, working at StackUp, there are modified prosthetics for some of the people in that charity to use game controllers and things like that. But just to be able to have like an accessible one like that is quintessential.
I think it's really great on Microsoft, as much as I crapped on them earlier, to be doing something like this, because I think it's a part of gaming culture that hasn't been addressed properly as of yet, and for them to take such open steps to address it is a really cool step forward for the whole industry.
Now, this does bring us to the end of our show, but we do have some sponsors. Amazon. If you go to our provengamer.com website, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal, it does help out the site. And it doesn't cost you any money. Also, Humble Bundle. I'm putting a link in our show notes. You can head over to there, get some cheap PC games, and it goes towards our charity, which is Extra Life. And now, Roberto, how can the listeners get in touch with you?
All right. So, first up, my Twitter handle is @jehuty88. That's at @jehuty. That is a Zone of the Enders reference to Zone of the Enders, the Second Runner, which, by the way, is coming out in September for PS4. You can find me there. You can find me here on Proven Gamer. Going to be writing a few more articles. And also, of course, here next Tuesday. Also, you can find me over at stackup.org's military charity. It's a 501c military charity dedicated to using games to help the troops. I'm a big writer there, so feel free to look at the content that I'm writing. Also, as mentioned before, I'll be going to E3 and we'll be tweeting like crazy about what's going to be happening on the show floor. Also, I'm a writer for another podcast called But Why Though PC. It's a pop culture podcast, so feel free to find me there as well. PlayStation Network ID is VectorMan88 in regards to the Sega Genesis character of the same name. So, I look forward to hearing you guys and hearing from you guys and seeing you there.
Matt?
I'm Missed Enough, MISTAHNUFF on all socials and also on the PlayStation and Steam. So find me there. And then I have a couple articles in the works for Proven Gamer.
Awesome. You can find me on Steam at Kalai21, that's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on Xbox at Miley21, that's M-A-I-L-E, the number 21. You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21. You can find me on PlayStation at Miley1978. And you can also find me in the Proven Gamer Facebook group. Or, I should say, the Game Stuff podcast group. I'm getting really tired. I do want to thank a couple people that helped us with the show. We have Isaac Sego, who made our logo. It's isaacsego.carpentmade.com. And we have our band Take Away the Ugly. And the song we use is Don't Panic. Again, I'm going to put show note links. I also want to tell you about our other shows, Trophy Horse. And Nintendo Dual Screens, which is killing it. So, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
See you guys.
Take care. May the force be with you.